In light of the recent landmark settlement by the National Association of Realtors, the $100 billion a year real estate agent industry could come crashing down. Now, in the wake of commission reform, there is a lot of confusion and uncertainty about how these changes are going to impact real estate for good or bad. Now, in this video, I'm going to give a comprehensive analysis on the impact that this could have for buyers and sellers, agents, and also investors. If you're unfamiliar with NAR's recent $418 million settlement, NAR finally agreed to release its stronghold on what the courts have deemed an antiquated and anti-competitive commission structure. Now, as part of the settlement proposal, NAR agreed to make three big changes that opened the door to commission reform. First, NAR agreed to abolish all rules allowing sellers' agents to set compensation for buyers' agents. Now, that means that the buyer's agent commission, which has historically been 2.5% to 3%, is no longer set or predetermined by the seller or the listing agent. Number two, NAR agreed to prohibit agent compensation appearing in the MLS fields. Doing so will supposedly prevent agents from steering or persuading clients to purchase or not purchase based on their compensation. And three, buyer's agents working with buyers must enter into a written buyer-broker agreement. Now, if the settlement is accepted starting in July of this year, the buyer's agent has to not only negotiate his fee, but he has to figure out how his fee is going to get paid since it's no longer automatically paid from the seller's proceeds. But keep in mind, commissions can still be part of negotiations between the buyer and the seller and can still be facilitated by their respective agents. Additionally, outside the MLS, a seller or his agent can still choose to advertise the buyer agent commission amount that they are willing to pay. It's only not allowed on the MLS. Now, regardless, these changes are expected to have a dramatic effect on the number of agents as well as the overall agent compensation. Some analysts predict as many as 1 million of the current 1.5 million agents nationwide are expected to exit the industry over the next 24 months. And the $100 billion a year industry could get slashed by 20 to 50 billion. Good for buyers and sellers, bad for agents. But does that mean that the real estate agent is about to become the next Blockbuster? Not likely. There will always be a buyer who wants a full service white glove experience and willing to pay for it. The difference will be that since buyer's agents are no longer automatically entitled to a fixed 2.5% to 3% commission, they will have to start articulating their expertise and value and become proficient at justifying and negotiating their fees to buyers. These premier buyer's agents that adapt and innovate will probably see their compensations go up and not down. The rest will quickly become obsolete. But it's also safe to say that more innovative, cost-effective solutions will emerge that may even eliminate the buyer's agent altogether. My bet is that AI will automate some or most of the buying process. Tell me if you can imagine the following. Using AI, a prospective buyer will search online for a home that fits his exact specifications. He'll schedule a showing that's convenient. He'll go to the home, AI will verify his ID, and the door will unlock. He'll be guided through the home with an interactive virtual guide explaining all of the home's amenities, features, and benefits. If interested in making an offer, the buyer will select a drop-down menu of options to create a custom offer with price and terms, such as earnest money, inspection, closing date, and so on. All without a live buyer's agent, saving thousands of dollars. Look, if you can order and buy a car without a sales rep, why couldn't you buy a house the same way? Leave a comment if you think that's a real possibility in the near future. I mean, let's be real. This technology already exists and a lot of people are tired of paying ridiculous and unnecessary commissions. Honestly, the fact that NAR has prevented this disruption from happening for this long is astonishing. And I don't think it will just be the buying process that will be automated. The listing side will quickly follow. With emerging tech, more simplified and automated processes will start to emerge, saving sellers thousands in commissions. But until then, and while buyer's agents are still being used, one of the big concerns that comes up is, if the buyer becomes responsible for paying his own agent, how is she going to afford the additional cost when purchasing a home? Good question. There are a few simple solutions that we'll probably see. First, the commission could be rolled into the loan and financed by the buyer's lender. Now, many loan programs already allow buyers to roll in closing and other fees. So why not agent commissions? Another solution is the buyer and seller negotiate the buyer commission as terms of the offer and the seller pays it from his proceeds at closing. For example, in the offer, the buyer could ask that the seller pays the buyer's agent compensation of $5,000, let's say. That fee to the buyer's agent could simply be paid directly by the seller at closing, or it could be a seller concession in the form of a credit to the buyer at closing, who then compensates their buyer's agent directly. The point is, the buyer's commission is probably going to be similar to commercial real estate, where it's part of the transaction negotiations. But it's not all sunshine and roses. These changes won't be without challenges. For one, with the cooperative compensation field gone, there is a real concern that not all properties will get listed on the MLS. Doing so could dilute its accuracy, making it harder for agents to find all of the available properties for buyers and making it more challenging to price listings for sellers. Another challenge is, since commissions will be unknown, it will make it harder to know the actual value of sold properties. For example, on a property that sold for $500,000, did the agent give $15,000 in buyer's agent concessions, or did the buyer pay the commissions directly? That's important to know if you're trying to establish the real market value of properties. Now, another concern is fair housing violations. Buyer's agents may be tempted to select buyers to represent as clients based on possibly false perceptions of who can afford or not afford to pay their commission. For buyers that are part of a protected class, that could present some issues. So now let's talk about how this might impact investors. I, for one, have always used agent compensation structure with both listing and buying agents to create a competitive advantage, and I'll continue to do so even with these changes. Let's consider the selling side first. Because investors are familiar and comfortable with the selling process, it's already customary to pay a reduced listing fee. For example, when I flip a house, I typically pay 1% or some reduced commission for a full service listing. Now, the reason is because I'm hands off. I'm realistic about price and I want it to sell quickly. I'm easy to work with. And most importantly, unlike a retail client, I offer repeat business. Years ago, when I rehabbed and flipped 70 to 80 houses a year in Metro Detroit, I had a top producing full service agent list all of my flips for a flat fee of $1,650 per property. Now, due to volume and all of the exposure, he saw massive benefit listing all of my properties for a low flat fee. And personally, knowing that buyer's agents do in fact steer clients based on how much commission they earn, even though they claim they don't do that, I will often offer 3.5% to 4% commission to the buyer's agent. Why? Not because I think the buyer's agent deserves that much or earned it in some way. No, I offer more than the typical 2.5% to 3% because I know the buyer's agent will persuade their buyers to buy my property over others, and I'll sell my house faster and for more money. I once listed a fix and flip property for sale, and I set the buyer agent commission to 4% with a $5,000 bonus for a full price offer. Guess what happened? I had one agent call me to confirm my commissions were correct. I told him they were, and he put two buyers in a bidding war against each other to buy my property, and it sold for over asking price. Buyer's agents are motivated to show and sell my properties, not because it's necessarily the best option for the buyer, but because it pays the agent the most money. Well, now the buyer's agents have to negotiate their fees with the buyer. I think we'll see an emergence of fixed buyer commissions. If you think about it, it's the same time, energy, and effort, for the most part, for a buyer's agent on a $250,000 house as it is on a $500,000 house. Showings, inspections, appraisals, paperwork, more or less, is the same regardless of the price of the home. And if I'm right, higher-priced homes will save sellers a lot of money compared to the old model. For example, let's say a buyer's agent and a buyer agree on a flat fee of $5,000. That would come out to 2% on a $250,000 purchase, but only 1% on a $500,000 purchase. As a seller, even if I agreed to pay the buyer's commission, that's a $10,000 savings compared to the old 3% model. As a flipper, that's a big deal to my bottom line. And since it's all out in the open and the buyer is responsible for his own agent's compensation, we'll probably see less steering. For example, as the seller, I cannot offer to pay the buyer's agent a higher commission on the MLS. I could, however, during negotiations, offer to pay the buyer's agent, let's say, a $5,000 bonus for a full price offer. That could happen. But since that's now out in the open, the buyer will quickly see his agent has an agenda and that won't sit well. So I doubt we'll see that happen much. Now, what about investors on the buy side when they purchase properties? Now, this angle has me very intrigued because I buy and wholesale a lot of on-market properties. Up until now, I take full advantage of the buyer's commission getting paid from the seller's proceeds. Here's how. When I identify a property that I'm interested in contracting, I strategically go directly to the listing agent unrepresented and offer the buyer's side commission to that listing agent. I call this the double dip strategy. Technically, it's called dual agency. Since the seller already committed to pay the buyer's side by giving it to the listing agent, she is extremely motivated to work with me and get my offer accepted, thus creating a competitive advantage. But now going forward, since the seller doesn't automatically pay the buyer's commission, I could offer to pay the listing agent directly to represent me as the buyer, but I'd have to factor in that fee as an additional cost of acquisition, which means I can't pay as much to buy the property, so that's not advantageous. So the best way that I see to create a competitive advantage is to still go to the listing agent unrepresented, but forego a buyer's agent commission altogether. I don't need buyer representation because I understand the process well. Without a buyer commission, the seller nets more money, making my offer more attractive than other offers that might be asking the seller to pay the buyer's agent fee. Or two, I could think outside the box and hire a buyer's agent to take on an unconventional role and become more of an acquisition specialist. For example, in addition to writing and presenting offers, the buyer's agent could source and find deals, analyze values, estimate repairs, structure creative financing. That agent could stay involved in the deal. If wholesaling, he could help find a buyer. And if I'm rehabbing, he could help with design, creating the scope of work, help overseeing projects, and all kinds of value add services. It's time for buyer's agents to innovate or go out of business. Now, one final thought. Whenever friction happens in an industry, we see the clean the house effect happen. The unwilling, unserious, uncommitted, uneducated, and part-time agents will all leave the industry. But the cream rises to the top. For the early implementers that are quick to innovate and adapt, there is a massive opportunity. I, for one, am excited to find new ways to capitalize on these changes. I'll have my ear to the pavement and I'll keep a pulse on what's happening. Why? Because when one door closes, I automatically look for the next door to open. And I invite you to do the same. Now, if you're an agent only and serious about crushing it in real estate, I would highly consider wholesaling and create a niche serving distressed sellers. Wholesaling is all marketing and sales. And if you're going to become proficient at marketing and sales anyway, you might as well wholesale because you can make a lot more money. To get started, I have a free home study course that teaches how to earn a 6 and even 7 figure income in 12 months or less wholesaling houses. Best of all, I give it to you for free. Just go to 8weekacademy.com. Now, I'm sure a lot more is going to transpire as this all unfolds, and I'll continue to keep you updated on all these changes. So stay tuned, and I'll see you on the next video.